Good morning. I hope you are doing well today. We are going to finish up our series on creation. We called it The Lord of Creation. And if you know when that time frame ends, it's one whole week. So it ends on day seven. Day seven is in Genesis chapter 2, and it's just a few verses. That does not mean today's sermon is going to be short, but it is just a few verses. And so let's read it for you, and then we'll talk about what all we're talking about today. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. And so the heavens and the earth were completed, and all of their heavenly lights. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. So if you read that, you probably can guess what we're talking about today. Rest. And because we're talking about rest, we've got to talk about what I kind of hinted at in the prayer, the idol in America and the world, really, of busyness. By a show of hands today, how many of you would consider your life busy right now? All right, how about this one? How many of you have ever had periods in your life where you just seem so busy that it was almost more than what you could handle? Some of you, that might be right now. Now, how many of you are retired and you don't know what being busy is anymore? One person, there we go. I feel like I'm busy all the time. We're in Christmas season, Thanksgiving season, we're getting ready. I don't do good when my schedule gets thrown off, so my schedule's going to be thrown off this week. And obviously we have just a lot going on, especially in the church world. These next few months are a busy couple months. And so I feel like I'm super busy. And it seems like my list of things that I have to do just keeps getting longer and longer. But on top of all of my church responsibilities, and for you that would be like your job responsibilities, I also have relationships and friendships I try not to let fall by the wayside. On top of that, I have a marriage that I need to focus on and nurture. On top of that, I have a two-year-old that needs a lot of dad's attention when I am at home. And on top of that, the most important thing for any of us is that we have our own personal relationship with Christ, that we have to ensure stays strong so that everything else is the way it should be. I'm sure your life looks very similar to that, and some of you have your job and plus all those other responsibilities, plus you volunteer your time at church, and for that we are so grateful. But I get it. Life is busy. But you know who has more work than you do? God. God has way more responsibilities than any one of us. And what did God do on the seventh day? He took a day to rest. And guess what? He gave us that commandment as well. We talk about the Ten Commandments often. A lot of people know the Ten Commandments, even if they don't go to church. But we don't really focus too much on the fourth commandment, which is in Exodus 20, 8 through 11. And here's what the fourth commandment says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work. You or your son, or your daughter, or male slave, or female slave, or cattle, or resident who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and everything that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. And for that reason, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, there in that commandment, he takes us back to the creation account and says that, hey, God set the example in this. God did this. For 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rested, and we're told that he made that day holy, which aligns with exactly what was said in the Genesis 2 account. It says he completed his work, he rested, and he blessed the seventh day, and we've been talking about the series how when he blessed, it basically wishes it well. And then we're told he sanctified it, and that's one of those theological words. But that means that he made it holy. To be holy means that you are set apart. So he made the seventh day different from the remaining 6 days. He set it apart, and then he commanded Israel, his people, to also set the seventh day apart, to use it as a day of rest. And he called it the Sabbath day. So what does Sabbath mean? Well, it means to cease, rest, or stop. And so it was one day through the week that the people of Israel were required to cease from work, to rest, and just simply to stop. This was often for Israel, this would be a Friday night to Saturday night, because that would be their day seven. They go by sundown to sundown. And so even today, there are Jews who take their Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night. That is part of what God has commanded them to do. And as you're going to see today, this is something that we should do as followers of Jesus as well. I think he commanded them to do this for a few reasons. First, it was a sign of the covenant or agreement that God had made with Israel. Basically, God said, if you do these things, you will be my people and I will be your God. And so by taking the seventh day, by resting from Friday night to Saturday night, by taking that time to cease from all work, it told everyone else who they belonged to, that they belonged to God. But also, guess who it told that they belonged to God as well? Israel. It reminds them of who they belong to. It reminds them that on that day that they are resting, they are to focus on the Lord and be reminded that work is not their master, that what happens through the week is not their God. Their God is the Lord God, and their God told them to rest. So let's talk about what all the Sabbath involves and the importance of it. First thing that the Sabbath involves, obviously, is rest. Here's another passage in Exodus 31, 15 through 16. It says, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. That's how serious God takes it. So the sons of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a permanent or never-ending agreement or covenant. So they would take their Sabbath the seventh day of the week, and they were told not to work. They are to cease from any work. They were told to completely rest. Now, they went overboard with some of the rules on what you could not do on the Sabbath. So you could not light a candle. Nowadays, it would say, hey, you can't turn on a light switch. You have to make sure everything is cooked beforehand so that you're not cooking on the Sabbath day. They would tell, this is actually in the Bible, or I remember it from The Chosen. They did a really good job of displaying this. You couldn't even pick grain on the Sabbath to eat because that was work. Jesus broke a lot of those man-made rules that went above and beyond what God said. And he broke those man-made rules, and that's part of the reason why the Jewish leaders wanted to put him to death. It's because it says if they do not celebrate the Sabbath, if they do not remember the Sabbath, they must be put to death. Well, Jesus was breaking their man-made rules, yet he was still doing what we are called to do on the Sabbath. Let me ask us something. How seriously do we take rest? Not very seriously at all, from what I can tell. Scientists say you need about 8 hours of rest a night. How often do you sleep 7 hours a night? We are not made to work, and you're going to hear this multiple times today, we are not made to work 7 days a week. Yet, that's exactly what a lot of people do. You may not be at your job 7 days a week, but you're working at home. The Sabbath that God commanded us to take was a rest that he says was actually made for us. Here's what he says in Mark 2:27. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So basically, he says, I gave you the Sabbath because you and your body, you need it. I didn't give this to you to be something extra burdensome. I gave it to you because you, the body, and we talked about last week how God created us in his image and his likeness. God knows everything about us. And so he knows that our bodies are literally not made to work 7 days a week. And so he's telling them that this Sabbath day was made to meet the needs of the people, which means this is not only applicable to God's people, the people of Israel, but it is applicable to us as God's people today. And I will argue it's applicable to everyone today, because he tells us you cannot work 7 days a week. And so I've got a newsflash for you today. It is all right to rest. It is all right to take off 1 day a week. I don't think you have to take off Friday night to Saturday night. But it's all right to take off 1 day a week and call it your Sabbath. This is something in pastor circles they are really pushing for pastors to do. I just got done with a 4-week class on mental health coaching. And specifically, it was training us to coach other pastors. And one of the things that the counselor listed in there is that it is a requirement for every pastor to take a Sabbath every week. Now, a lot of people take their Sabbath on Sundays. Guess what Sunday is for me? It's not a restful day. David just laughed because he knows. I'm an introvert, which means people drain me. I love you guys, but when I go home on Sundays, I am drained. I don't like doing anything else other than maybe pickleball every now and then on Sunday evenings because I am drained. So I take my Sabbath day from Thursday night to Friday night. Basically, Thursday when I get home, I keep Elijah that night, and I keep Elijah all day on Friday, and that is my Sabbath. That's my day in which I rest. Now, something I struggled with years ago is feeling guilty when I would rest. And I think that's the enemy. I think that's the devil. I think the devil will try to stop you from taking a break, will try to stop you from resting, especially in a culture like we are here in Southern Randolph County, where work, I mean, if you have a strong work ethic, you're going to be respected. And there's a lot of people in Southern Randolph County that do not take a break, do not take 1 day off 7 days a week. This is actually a problem in America. We have a very work-centric culture where it's almost like it is a stamp of approval if you can say, oh, I'm just too busy to do that. I'm busy. It makes you feel important or something. And so for me, when I started taking my Sabbath a few years ago, I felt guilty during that time. And when you feel guilty, it's hard to rest. Some of that actually came from some peer pressure. I used to work with somebody that never took a Sabbath, that never took a day off. And so they would always be working, they'd always be doing something, and because they're always working, it made me feel like I should be working because they're always working. And so there's that peer pressure there as well. Instead, what we have to learn to do is the art of saying no to what the devil's telling us. Hey, devil, it's okay to rest. Hey, culture around us, it's okay to rest. You have to learn the art of saying no to things that can wait. Guess what? Your work can wait. Let me give an example from my wife yesterday. My wife's a school teacher, so she always has stuff to do. And so we got home yesterday from helping our partner in church, Life Point and Troy, with their winter giveaway. And Elijah was ready for his nap. Daddy was ready for his nap. And we invited mommy to come nap with us. And she said, no, I just have too much to do. And I says, well, I'm preaching on this tomorrow. Everything can wait. So you can come and rest with us. And sure enough, she slept longer than I did. Work could wait. Guess what? She goes back to work on Monday. She just did not have to work on Saturday. That stuff can wait. Guess what else can wait? Your household chores. I heard somebody say amen. That's right. You can leave your dishes in the sink. It's not going to hurt the dishes one bit. They're not going to be offended of sitting in the sink another day. Amen. That's right. Andrea raised the roof right there. The women are going like this one. Guess who else you can say no to? Your husband. He can wait, or he can go get his own food. He's got legs. That's right. Heidi was telling us in our Tuesday small group, she said, Danny, as soon as I sit down, Danny wants something to eat. And I said, Danny can wait 24 hours if he can't get up. You can rest. You can say no to your husband. They can go get their own food, et cetera, et cetera. Now my wife's going to use that against me when I ask her for something. Learn the art of saying no. You don't have to do everything. Rest. Choose to rest. The second thing that Sabbath involves is renewal. Exodus 20, 9 through 10, the first part of that verse says, "For 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest to cease to stop for the Lord your God." In other words, that day is a day that is dedicated to the Lord. For Israel, the Sabbath involved rest, but it also involved worship. And we see this develop over the life of Israel. And by the New Testament, when Jesus is ministering, and even when Paul is ministering, on the Sabbath day, where are they at? They're in the synagogues, which would be like saying that Christians go to church. They are there together worshiping the Lord. And that's where Jesus and Paul would minister a lot of the time. Jesus got in trouble for healing someone on the Sabbath because they considered that work. But they were there in the synagogue worshiping God. What Israel understood is that you couldn't really rest without spending time with God. Another way of thinking about this is, I think rest will refresh us, but renewal refuels us. It's good to get refreshed so that you aren't running around all the time tired. But what God wants to give you is new fuel. You can only be renewed and get that new fuel through the presence of God. The word renew means to repair something. And in some Christian circles, renewal is used to communicate breathing new life. And what a great picture it is for us that when you come into the presence of God, when you spend time with God, He breathes that breath of life into you, renewing you so that you can go back the next 6 days and work 100% and be ready to work for the glory of God no matter what you do, doing it to the best of your ability, and then rest again on the seventh day. There's nothing like spending time with God. There's a difference between resting and watching Netflix and resting and spending time with God. I find myself connecting with God more so in nature than anywhere else. And there's a big difference between me sitting at home and watching Netflix shows, binging some show on Netflix, and then going for a walk in the woods. When I go for the walk in the woods, I come out feeling more refreshed than I do sitting at home on my butt on the couch watching Netflix. Something about spending time with God, something about being in His presence will refuel us in a way that is really kind of hard to understand. Something else that we can be refueled by is being around God's people. I love our table gatherings. I love our small groups. I love even our leadership team meetings. Our leadership team meetings are a whole lot of fun and not a lot of substance sometimes. But that's because we're building relationships and we just enjoy being in each other's presence. Because you're in the presence, when you're in the presence of other Christians, guess who lives in them? God. When two or more are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Something special about being in God's presence and being around God's people. So the Sabbath is a time for you to focus on your relationship with God as well, to experience that renewal. Because your relationship with God is the most important relationship any of us have, and it needs your attention on a regular basis. What would happen if you never focused on your marriage? What would happen to that relationship? What would happen to your relationship with your kids if you never focused on that relationship? The same thing happens with our relationship with God. And so what God is saying is, one day a week, spend time with me. Make me the focus of that day. Now, you should be spending time with him the rest of the week. I'm not saying he's always there, always present. You just got to become aware. But on that seventh day, intentionally take that time that day to focus on God. That's why many people make Sunday their Sabbath, because they begin the day by focusing on God and being around God's people. Another thing that the Sabbath does, and this is me wording it, I don't know how you want to say, but is best I could think of. Taking a Sabbath weekly is countercultural and a kick to the face of our enemy. Let me explain that. Do you know how much Satan loves it when you're busy? He loves it. He loves it because he knows that relationships with other people are probably being neglected because you're focusing a lot on whatever it is you're focusing on. He loves it a lot because the level of stress in your body, your cortisol levels go up. He loves it a lot because if you're busy focusing on the things of this world, you aren't focusing on God. He loves it because he knows that when you do not rest, and when you are busy, and when you are worn out, you are vulnerable to his attacks in ways that you typically are not. We've heard this term before. It's called burnout. When you work, and don't rest, you are more vulnerable to burnout. Burnout, the definition is exhaustion of physical or emotional strength or motivation, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. We have a major problem with pastors burning out. And I think part of that is because a lot of people's jobs are Monday through Friday, and even though it's Monday through Friday, a lot of you take work home. But for pastors, we don't really have a set schedule. And so if you're not good at managing your own time and choosing to say no to the phone when they call on your Sabbath day, you are going to burn out because you're just having prolonged stress or frustration. Another thing that we're vulnerable to when we don't rest is temptation. Have you ever been tired or hungry? We talked about this a little bit on Tuesday as well. I don't know how all this came up on Tuesday, but it went right along with my sermon. Have you ever been tired or hangry, and you flip off, you get mad at your husband or your wife a little quicker than you normally would? You sin a little bit easier than you normally would? That's because you're tired. It's hard to fight things off when you're mentally, emotionally tired. And I also think that when we constantly are giving out, constantly working, I think it makes you more vulnerable to depression, anxiety, and things of that sort, mental health issues. You were not created to work as much as most of us do. I would say America idolizes work. Look at some of these stats. 6 in 10 U.S. adults feel too busy to enjoy life. On average, the full-time American worker works around 47 hours per week, including both paid and unpaid work. In one study, the average participant claimed to be so busy that they only get about 26 minutes of free time a week. That's ridiculous. And we're supposed to have 24 hours, and they have 26 minutes of free time a week. I'm using AI more and more in helping me like find stuff like this to be able to give you examples. And so one of the things I asked AI was, and not Allen Iverson, I'm talking about artificial intelligence. That was a joke for you, John David. I said, does America idolize work? And even artificial intelligence said yes. It said, yes, there is a strong cultural tendency in the United States to idolize work. This work-centric culture can lead to burnout, stress, and the neglect of other important aspects of life, such as family, health, and personal hobbies. It even gave reasons why it believes that Americans idolize work. Part of that is because we idolize work ethic, and having a good work ethic is good. I'm not saying it's wrong, But when you have, when your work ethic is so high that you're not taking one day a week to rest, it becomes bad at that point. Another reason why it said that there's a strong cultural tendency to idolize work is because a lot of people use their career as their identity. They don't describe themselves as a mom or dad. They describe themselves as whatever their profession is first. Another thing is they tend to work strong hours, which is evidence, long hours, which is evidence of a strong tendency to idolize work. And then it even gave the example of guilt for resting. And that comes from the culture that we're in where everybody is work, 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 work. Looking at these impacts that even artificial intelligence says, let's look at the stats on this. 75% of workers have experienced burnout at some point in their life. 83% of U.S. workers experience work-related stress. I would like to know who that 17% is that are not stressed at work. I want their job. 49% of U.S. adults report that stress has negatively affected their behavior. So that's connecting into when you're tired, when you're worn out, it's going to affect your relationships at home because you're tired and you're not able to fight off some of the temptations that the devil will throw at you. I put this one in there. 50% of marriages end in divorce because one of the things that talked about was how it affects important aspects of your life, such as family. Well, 50% of marriages end in divorce. 1 in 4 kids are growing up in a fatherless home. I would say more than that are growing up in a fatherless home because even though on paper the father's still there, he's working 80 hours a week and he's not there. 76% of adults have experienced health impacts due to stress in the past month. What do you do when you get stressed? For a lot of us, we eat. And it leads into this stat. Approximately 73.6% of Americans adults age 20 and older are considered overweight, including those who are obese. So almost 75% of Americans are overweight. Could it be going back to connecting that stress into there? Also, when you're constantly busy, what's the easy thing to do? To go to fast food. Is fast food healthy for you? No. And if you do want what's healthy for you, you're going to be spending $15 for a salad. That might not even be good. We have to be counter all of this. And to be counter all of this, we have to choose to rest weekly. And when you do that, Satan hates it. He hates it because he knows he is losing one of the tools that he uses against us to hurt us in multiple ways, to hurt our families, to hurt our health, to hurt all different types of aspects of our life. We have to fight against it. We have to be counterculture, and we can do that by taking a Sabbath weekly. When you take a Sabbath, here's some things you can do. First, sleep. Catch up on your sleep. I was listening to a podcast this past week, and they said that your body naturally wants to catch up on sleep every 7 days, which is why some of you are able to sleep in a little extra on Saturday because it knows that there's a deficit from the previous 6 days, and so on that seventh day, it's trying to catch up. And so guess what you can do on your Sabbath? Let it catch up on that sleep. Go home today, take a nap, catch up on the sleep deficit that your body needs. Second thing is do the bare minimum. Taking a Sabbath does not mean it's a chore day. It does not mean it's a grocery shopping day. It does not mean that it's a day when you do everything you couldn't do the rest of the week. It is a day to rest. Do the bare minimum. Third, do something you enjoy. One of the things that counselors will often encourage people to find is a hobby. Do something outside of work, outside of home life. Do something that you enjoy doing. Something that brings you joy, something that fills your energy tank, whether that maybe be walking, pickleball, amen somebody. Go play some pickleball. Do something. My wife likes to color. I do not like to color. I'm the only one in the house that don't color right now, but my wife likes to color. She used to make these door hangers that we would sell, and she enjoyed doing that. It wasn't work for her. It was creating something she enjoyed doing. So do something that you enjoy. Do a hobby. And then I think that spending time with those who bring you joy is important on the Sabbath as well. As I've already said, when you spend time with other people, especially other Christians, you're in the presence of God. And I think God, as we talked about last week, God created us for fellowship. And so do things, spend time with other people that bring you joy. And then most importantly, rest in Jesus. Here's the invitation he gives us in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a great invitation. From the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Creator, to come to Him and rest. Resting in Jesus involves spending time with Him. It involves worshiping Him. It involves reading the Word. It involves praying, talking with Him. But sometimes for me, the most important part about resting in Jesus is just sitting in His presence. Knowing He is there, knowing His presence, being very aware of what everything that comes to my mind, making every thought obedient to Christ. And during this series, something I've done is imagined all that He created and just glorifying in it. Rest in Jesus on your Sabbath. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that here in just a little bit. For us to quiet our lives, to quiet the work that is waiting us on Monday, to quiet maybe the work that's waiting you at home today, and just to spend time in the presence of God. Because ultimately what practicing the Sabbath does is it keeps God on the throne in our hearts. When we take time each week to block off everything else, to spend time with God, it tells everything else that you are not as important as God. Your job isn't as important. And listen to this, your family isn't as important. Your chores are not as important. Your kids are not as important. What is most important for you is God. And so when you take time to block everything else out, it puts God where He belongs, which is on the throne in our hearts. And if God is on the throne in your heart, there's a rest that awaits all of us. The author of Hebrews talks about it here in Hebrews 4:9-11. It says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their examples of disobedience. You know, in Genesis 2, this is the only day that does not end. It says that God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Other scriptures, the other days will say, and there was evening and there was morning, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day. Genesis 2 does not say that. Why? Because that rest is always there for us. We don't have to continue to work to earn God's love. We don't have to work to earn anything in life. We just know that we can rest in God's presence. Just as Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. And we get a taste of that here on earth every time we take that Sabbath rest. But one day, you will experience that forever in eternity if you love God and live for Him. And so what we're going to do today to end is we're ending in a lot different way than we normally do. Normally our worship team comes up and sings and we worship our way out of here. And we are going to worship today, but it's going to be in a different way than we have before. There's a song that has been very meaningful to me over the last few years, and it's called Lean Back. And multiple people's done it. Hillsong, Maverick City. I think the one that we're listening to today is Capital City Music. But it talks about leaning back in the arms of God. Having a son now, Elijah's a cuddler, and he loves to come cuddle up against me, and he sleeps with us often, and so he'll curl right up next to me, especially now that it's getting colder. He'll curl up right next to me, and as he's doing that, it reminds me of when I was a kid, and I used to curl up next to my dad. And, you know, Dad's bigger than Mom, and so I always felt like I kind of drowned in Dad. Like, I felt protected. I felt secure. I felt comforted. And I hope Elijah feels that same way as well. But when I listen to this song, I'm reminded we can go curl up next to God. We can lean back into His loving arms, the arms of our Savior, and rest. And so today what we're going to do to end is we're just going to simply sit here in the presence of God. We're going to take a deep breath. And we're going to remember that it's the breath of life that God gave us. I was going to make a video and let you look at creation and all the things that God created and how just great our God is, and how we, if God created all of this that we've talked about during this series, we can for sure lean back on Him and rest. And as I was starting to make the video, something in me said no. Let that play out in your mind. Let God give you whatever images He wants to give you. We just need to be in the presence of God and rest. And so whatever you want to do at your seat, if you want to come up here, you can. Whatever you want to do, close your eyes and rest in the presence of God as we listen to this song and just spend time in His presence. Choosing to block out all the issues that we're facing, all the work that's awaiting us this week, all the family that's coming in on Thursday and Friday. Just take this time, focus on God, and rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You in prayer right now, Lord, we quiet our hearts before You. Father, we're thankful for Your presence. Lord, You promise us in Scripture that where two or more are gathered in My name, there I am among them, and You are here right now. And You are giving us the invitation to come and rest, to simply be in Your presence, to lean back into Your loving arms, and to know that we are loved. That we are protected. That we are secure in You. And Lord, I pray that as we do this, I pray that You would bring to mind whatever You want us to think about. Whether it be pictures that make us glorify You of all the creation, or if it's simply just imagining You on Your throne right now. Or maybe it's us just sitting on Your lap, curling up next to You like we did maybe our parents. Father, I just pray that You would help us to block out any attacks from the enemy during this time. Refuel us, renew us with Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody take a breath with me. Let's spend time in the presence of God. Thank you.